Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And when I say red hot, I am actually thinking about my guest who happens to be in the studio. She is from Rwanda. She is currently living in the United States, Denver, Colorado. Her name is Christine Wizera, and Christine is a survivor of the Holocaust. And when I'm saying the Holocaust, I'm not talking about the Holocaust against Jewish people, as you might think, but I'm talking about the Rwanda Holocaust. And Christine, you were how old when this horrible tribal war erupted in your country?
Yes, I was 22 years old. I was going to Rwanda University, so I was 22 years.
And you were on your way to visit your sister and her husband.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes, it was during Easter break, and I decided to go see my sister who was pregnant, who had just given a baby. The baby was 4 months old. And so when I was there, it was April 6th. Rwanda is going through terrible time. There is a war which has been happening from the year 1990. Mm-hmm. In April, I decided...
Listen, for those that aren't familiar, when I say Holocaust, I mean it. A 3-month period,
yes.
1 million people were murdered?
Yes, that's correct.
It's, you know, we here in the United States, we watch television. By the time we're 18, I forgot what the statistic is, but we've seen thousands and thousands of murders before our very eyes, and we're almost like numb. And when we hear a million people murdered in a 3-month period, it's hard to comprehend. It has to be one of the most horrible experiences of your life.
It was. And I was very young, and I didn't have hope in Jesus Christ. So I went to visit my sister, and when I was there, all of a sudden, in me, I felt I can't spend the night. I don't know what it was, but I told her, listen, I can't stay. I have been here for a few hours. I'm going to the countryside. I will see you in a couple weeks. And so when I left, after six hours, I would never see my sister again. She was killed during the genocide. Her husband, her baby of 4 months, and then her 2 maids who were working for her.
Now, out of curiosity, were murders done with guns, or were they done with machetes? Or
now, these murders were done by people using traditional weapons. What I mean by that is like knives, machetes. So it was killing one and one most of the time. So you could easily find somebody who killed 50 people using a knife.
So when you realized you were in the middle of a war, and not just a normal type war, how in the world did you survive? And you weren't even a real Christian.
No, I was not. And I didn't have hope. That was the hard thing to do. But you see, the love of God never fails. God loves even a sinner. And even those who are listening now, if you don't know God, please know that He loves you, but He doesn't want you to stay in that condition. He wants you to come so that you will experience His love. So I left my sister and went to the countryside, and the killings started in the city where my sister was living. It didn't go to the countryside, and my life was spared in this way. To this moment, I keep asking God, why me? Why did you save me? Because you see, if I didn't live, my life would have died. And so, to this day, I'm very thankful for every day I'm alive.
Now, here's the thing that is so amazing, Christine. You go from a Holocaust, literally.
Yes.
I mean, you're a young person, even now, but you survive the Rwanda Holocaust, you then flee and go to the Congo, and you walk into another war.
Yes, when I went to the Congo, it was a very difficult situation because when I fled the war, I left my family behind. We were 10 children. I go by myself. I don't know anybody. I don't speak much of the language they speak in the other country. And it was my first experience out of the country. When I went there, it was really hard situation, but I saw the hand of God. The Bible says that God takes care of the birds of the air. He knows even when a sparrow fall to the ground. So I saw how God took care of our lives. I was by myself. I didn't know where my family was. And I stayed into the Congo for 2 years.
I don't even know how you could have survived that. And you go to a foreign country. You're by yourself. I assume you did you have any money?
No, I didn't have any money.
And you really didn't. You really did not know God, but he knew you.
Yes.
But... even that must have been a horrific experience.
Yes,
for you.
It was. But every time you see, Sid, I was born in a Catholic family. I knew God a little bit, and always I had a very small Gideon Bible. And during the middle of the war, because there are many times I will be in a building where everybody is killed by me, and then every time I took that Bible.
Wait a second. You say you were in a building where everyone was killed?
But me, yes.
But,
like they would throw a bomb and many
yes.
people will die and I will be able to flee myself from it. But it was God doing that for me. And there are many times also where I would be sitting with other people and they will be taken out of the car, killed by me. So God spared my life. But every time I would say, God, please, if you save me from this war, I will serve you. I will come to know you. But every time my life would be spared, I would not turn back to God. I didn't know who God was for real.
Okay, so you survive the Rwanda Holocaust in a very supernatural fashion.
Yes.
You survive the war going on in the Congo.
Yes.
Why did you then decide to go back to Rwanda?
Now, there was another war which happened in Congo, and it was also a terrible war. They were trying to kill some people who look a certain way. And so when I saw the same war happening, the same war I left back to Rwanda, I said, there is nowhere to flee. I'm going back to my land, so I die on my own soil. But everything you see, Sid, was the plan of God, because God had planned that my daughter Christine is going to be saved. On it is
okay.
A date.
Christine, so you're saying to me, you went back home,
yes,
Rwanda.
I did.
You're an orphan. Some of your brothers and sisters are dead. You're going back there to die. And the moment your foot touched Rwanda soil,
yes.
What happened?
Now, let me say something. After the genocide, the power of God came upon Rwanda in a mighty, mighty, mighty way that you could feel it in the air. So here I come from Congo. I get to the border. The moment my foot stepped into the border, I started shaking, 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 shaking from inside out. I started hearing the voice which says, God is mighty. God is great. I mean, this voice, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Nobody told me it was the Holy Spirit. But you know, when God visits you, you get knowledge. You understand. You know it is God. And so this voice shook me and stayed inside me for a whole month until I was led to a born-again Christian church.
And is that where you got really born again?
That's where I gave my life to Jesus publicly. But to be honest with you, from the first moment I heard that voice, I knew God was real and I knew I needed to run to him. And I knew that a new beginning is going to start for me.
But how old were you at that time?
When the shaking started happening, I was 24, going almost 25.
And you already had lived a lifetime with
yes.
all that you went
yes.
through.
Yes, I had seen death.
You were going there to die. You were going back to Rwanda to die, and you bump into a revival, and it's so strong, the minute your feet touch the ground, you started shaking.
Yes, I started shaking, and the people had all changed, become a Christian, because we saw the face of evil. We saw how the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, and many people saw the power of God. The same power was everywhere. Many people turned to God. You could see it on their face. Even the way we greet each other in Rwanda, it has changed. We greet each other in this way. Yesu Ashime, which means praise the name of Jesus. That's how we greet each other.
Now, the thing that intrigued me about you is, for a young person, having survived such two major wars, and you should not have survived, you know it was God.
I would have died.
I know it was God. And you survived these wars. You go back to your home country, but you had an encounter with what most people just read about in the Bible. The Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire.
Yes.
And in this country, we're moving more towards seeker-sensitive type churches than this fire. The reason that I'm interviewing you is you received what the Book of Acts calls the baptism of fire.
Yes.
In this country, very few people, they know the word because they've read the Bible, but they haven't heard about this baptism of fire. I have to believe that the first believers all had this baptism of fire. And that's why when we read the Book of Acts, it's and we see what goes on in the average church in the United States, it's almost like two different gospels.
Yes, yes.
Mishpucha, I'm making her brand new book available. The title is The Blazing Holy Fire. And this is a woman that is a young woman, got caught up in the Rwanda Holocaust and saw the supernatural protection of God. People that are afraid of what's coming on this earth, when you read this, you'll be encouraged. You won't be afraid of anything. But people that are reading this are walking into the fire of God. People are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's brand new. But the message of the fire of God has been too long coming. And it's ready. It's now. If you'll call or write today with a donation of $18, I'd love to make this book available to you, The Blazing Holy Fire. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.